Dumelang, Sanbonani. Welcome to it. Beyond the Ballot with Bafana Modise. The 2024 elections saw no winners. Amongst those parties that made it back to parliament is the ACDP. However, they came back to parliament with one seat short, losing over 6,000 votes. Why didn't South Africans give them their vote? I'm here with the chairperson in the Midrand, Siseko. Siseko is a former labor inspector at Department of Labor. He's a compliance manager for international company. And then the man also owns a logistic company. My brother, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Wafana. I'm good. And it's nice to be here again.
No, great stuff.
Feels like my second home, as I always say.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to engage you today.
And, great stuff, man. Welcome to the hot seat.
Thank you, sir.
We look at this election in 2024, my brother, and somebody would say, was this what you guys expected? Did you want more? How is your general feeling as a party with the results of the election?
Obviously, Bafana, we expected more. Depending on the work that really we put, if you look at our campaign, you look at our manifesto, you look at our messaging, and this is something which was really unprecedented for us as SADP in terms of our drives that we had done across the country, our president and our leadership in its entirety crisscrossing the country.
Yes.
We certainly hoped for more. We cannot fault anybody, you know, with these results because the work was done.
Okay.
But these are the results, and we have to, so to speak, pick up the pieces and move forward and see how do we project ourselves towards 2026, do a post-mortem review of where we could have done better in 2024, and use those lessons to springboard further into 2026.
Most parties, when they started after the election, there were allegations that were saying this election is rigged, these numbers are not real, IEC's. The party's position, do you feel like the IEC might have been found to be unethical in their approach?
Well, you use a very polite word, unethical. it reminds me actually of a story. I know their deputy is currently going through some legal woes, the IEC deputy. I think for us as ACDP, these things, they do speak volume, integrity, character. This is what we always look for in a person holding such a high office. Coming back to the results, Bafana, do we feel that there were irregularities in some instances? Yes. And that is evidenced by a number of objections that we have raised. We've raised a number of objections. And some of them were around issues of maybe proper counting or you know, collating of numbers. And some people might argue whether that is a substantial reason to say the elections were not free and fair. No. There were issues which we raised, and we did raise a couple of objections whenever there were issues. And the IEC addressed some of the issues that we had raised as objections.
So would you say it was free and fair?
We are safe to say, Bafana, we accept the results.
Okay.
we accept the results. Remember when we started, our parties were called and our president was there to represent us as ACDP, where he had to swear an oath and also agree to abide by the code of conduct of the IEC. And this is part of it, that whenever results are announced as a party, you need to take a responsible stance. This is why you find us where we are. However, that doesn't mean that we are entirely impressed with the performance of the IEC. We believe that there's a lot of improvement that the organization needs to do, the IEC.
So I'm going to go to this part. We have so many churches in this country, and I think everyone identifies as Christian in the woke generation of identifying. People identify as Christians, but then the voting does not, their belief does not translate to vote. Do you think maybe you need to improve your messaging in the next coming in your next election? Maybe should you speak more about government issues? Should you maybe preach more of the gospel? Yeah. How do we fix and reclaim those 6,000 votes that you lost, and even grow beyond them?
A balanced approach is needed. Yes, Christians are our voter base predominantly. However, it's important that as ACDP we postulate as a South African political party. And I believe that our leadership is something which they are currently pushing for. They are doing it. And it's important that we get to understand that ACDP is for everybody, every South African. Yes. Is welcome in ACDP. And I guess that is the message that we need to push forward. And do we need to preach more? Of course, we'll do that. But subsequent to that, we need to make sure that we engage South Africans on the social issues that they are facing, make sure that we align ourselves to the bread and butter issues. You speak about the church. There's a lot of work for us going forward in the area of the church. Our church liaisons and officers have got their work cut out because we need churches on board and more of churches on board. So that's the work that we are going to continue doing. And also you might recall that in terms of our statistics, there's about 14 million youth voter, which are actually, you know, not engaged in our country. So these are all the areas that we will have to look into as we venture into 2026.
Yes, I think speaking on the youth part, you also have a member of parliament, Mari Sokas, who was young, who served her term, and because of the three numbers, she was booted out. I wouldn't say booted out, as if she was fired, but based on the seats offered. Don't you think maybe the party could have kept her just to keep, to somehow keep themselves relevant with the youth, young people, maybe, because I think she was the youngest amongst your MPs.
Now, a valid point, Bafana, and a valid question. Remember, former MP Mari will still play a huge role within the ACDP. She's still part of the leadership within the party, the party structures.
Yes.
And if you look at also our NEC is a very balanced NEC. You've got women representation, whom we call women of destiny. They are represented there. Our youth is represented there. And the entire organization is represented there. So she's quite an asset. To put it out bluntly, you know, for us as ACDP. So obviously that energy we need. Remember, she was running brilliant programs for us, for example, engaging our constituency and the South Africans at large on the issues of Bella Bill.
Yes.
And we would like her to continue that work with that same zeal and energy that you know her, you know, to be having. And but just, she's a bright spark.
But just not in parliament.
For now.
For now.
I will use that word for now, Bafana, but that does not make her role to be redundant in any way. Obviously, such talent, such energy ought to be harnessed and used within the party. And I'm sure our leadership, they are looking into an opportunity to engage such talent. That
perfect. Yeah, I mean, for looking at the party and looking at most parties, even though they didn't come out outright, but they brought in young people. PA brought in young people. Certain parties brought in young faces. Even the ANC brought in some young faces there and there. And I thought maybe it was within the party's interest for future to actually have a young person as well representing the party. But I understand maybe because of the numbers of the seats in parliament, she couldn't get that opportunity. Moving along to this part here, you have what you call today the government of national unity, where parties came together to form government. We know that it was basically between the ANC, IFP, and the DA, but the door has been wide open to everyone. Why didn't they call the Reverend to come and open in prayer? Why was not? Was the Reverend called? Did he decline the call?
No, of course, the ACDP was engaged. But maybe before I move forward, let me go back to your question. I think there's a part that I want to address there.
Yes.
Look, if you look at our list to Parliament, there's a number of young people in our list, youngest in their 20s.
Yes.
So we did have youth representation in the party list that we have put forward.
Yes.
The seats turned out to be what they are. and hopefully we will do better next time and we'll push. But coming back to the GNU situation, yes, the Reverend was invited to open in prayer and more. The ACDP was engaged to come and be part of the Government of National Unity. And the party from there onwards engaged us as the membership of ACDP, and we had conversations, you know, after they also having met as the NEC, and a decision was taken not to be part of the Government of National Unity. Remember, there has to be someone who holds this government responsible. If we all join, who is going to be the voice of reason? Considering our mandate, we think it's actually important for us to be a very strong voice wherever we are, be it inside or outside the GNU. But in this instance, we felt that our voice would be much more resounding in the National Assembly outside of GNU.
I think somebody else would say, even the PAC with one seat went and joined the boardroom.
Yes.
Even your good party went on and joined the party. So what is wrong? So this is a Christian party. What is wrong with unity, Barcelona? Yes. What is wrong with unity to come together to put the country at the forefront and say we are going to somehow forget about what we wanted as a party and focus on what the country needs?
No, that's a fair question. But precisely for those reasons, the fact that we are not involved at GNU level, that doesn't mean that we are ruling out being involved, for example, in Gauteng at the provincial level. There are currently talks about talks.
I've heard that line a lot. Talks about talks.
To be part of a provincial government in Gauteng. And it's precisely for service delivery purposes. Remember when we went into these elections, we were running on a slogan of SOS as ACDP, service, order, safety. And we would like to give our constituency that leverage. But also, it's important to note, you were mentioning a number of other parties who are part of the GNU. Look, ACDP will never enter into any agreement for the sake of positions. I think that should be made clear, because some of those parties that you mentioned are on survival mode. And they saw this as an opportunity to survive for the next 4 years. But we are driven by our mandate, our Christo-Judeo principles, and we cannot shy away from that, which is why we are not neglecting the position of a provincial unity government in Gauteng, precisely so that we can contribute.
But then, Sisebo, you're telling me, was it going to be better to have Reverend as a minister, the ACDP in charge of a particular department nationally, running it, demonstrating their governance, and maybe somehow showing the people that this is what we will do when we get to government? I think the whole idea of it is that if you could have joined and you are given maybe a Ministry of Home Affairs or Social Development or Policing, at least there, the party is in charge. You can deploy your forces, implement your manifesto and run and show the country that you mean business. But how are you going to be effective if you're not part of the bigger table?
Well, Bafana, look, there's a number of issues at GNU. First of all, I'm sure you might have seen the squabbles between the ANC and the DA.
Hey, Helen!
You know, Madam almost broke the back of the GNU agreement, and there were references to certain clauses that they needed to be consulted. So, look, ACDP can never be found to be amongst squabbles or squabblers for positions. I don't think it's a good place for us to be found at. And I mean, if you look at that, GNU is already overloaded with 11 parties. And as a result of that, we are now sitting with a bloated parliament because everybody had to be catered for. But coming back to your point, yes, it would have contributed quite a lot for us to have our leader, our ACDP leader, Reverend, to be part of maybe a minister.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, though, the parties that are contributing the number of seats that we are contributing, most of them have been given deputy minister positions, and which, in terms of, you know, authority decision making, they don't really have that much authority. That's the one problem. Another issue that you face is that simply because you are ACDP, you don't go into an executive and become ACDP. There you are part of government. You are bound by the policies of government. And you report to the president. That's your principal in the executive. So if you are told to implement Bella, you better run. Because that's your principal telling you to implement a policy that has been passed by parliament. If somebody says implement NHI, you are forced to do that because that's a policy position of the country and it has been passed through the National Assembly. So these types of technicalities would have arisen.
Because some people would say, even I for one would say, maybe now, before government can take any decision, now at least there's an opportunity for parties to be consulted and to reach, whether it's a bill or whether it's a new direction. At least when you are part of a cabinet, you might not have stronger voice, but at least there's a consultation process and there's accountability part of, right? Unlike when you're only in parliament in opposition benches, all you can do is just disagree, but you cannot really be impactful and effective. Unlike when you're in a cabinet of some sort, regardless of how much power or voice you have.
There's a different thought trail, Bafana. A thought trail that says, you can be in opposition and still push the policies that you want to push. For an example, when we say as ACDP, we do not agree with the current NHI, we have a clear policy position of how we believe that part of the policy in terms of health, the national health insurance, should be handled. So we would definitely advance that. You know, one of the things that you must also remember is that it's difficult for you to disagree with the government that you are part of. You will be disagreeing with yourself because you are part of the collective. So you have to toe the line, basically. You have to toe the line.
Yeah.
And understanding also, Bafana, that most of these policies, they are actually, there's a Antichrist agenda at the center of most of the policies. You look at Bella Bill. Why are we gender sensitizing our children? Why are we saying our children should share toilets, boys and girls and teachers? I mean, you look at the rape statistics in this country.
Yes.
What does that tell you? The type of people that are funding these types of ideologies, you know, now you will have to swim amongst these sharks, so to speak. And you will have to be fighting within, you know, this swamp. Rather sit, be on the opposition and be very clear of your position and say, I do not agree with your Antichrist agenda. And you are not going to use me as a Christian to get other Christians to buy into your Antichrist agenda.
Yes.
So we refuse to be painted with that brush because, I mean, these are in the main, so some of the policies that are really eroding social conscious.
Yes, yes. Yeah. I'm going to come to this. Usually when most parties do lose some seats or lose some votes, they lose a leader. And the question has to come to a point of, will the ACDP be considering replacing Reverend Meshwe based on the voter turnout? Or is it an issue of just rebuilding and recampaigning properly?
Look, that's a no-go. It's a non-starter. We've recently come out of elections. We had our national elective conference, and Reverend was re-elected unopposed. Does that mean that simply because we've lost 6,000 votes in total now, that should be the line of thought? I don't think that is constructive for any organization.
Yeah.
There are organizations, there are political parties which are not there at all. We, like, for example, EFF. COPE. Kobe is not returning to parliament.
Yes, yes.
And
yes.
Yet, in the media circles, you don't hear this leadership succession, argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think what we need to do, we need to show progression. Mm-hmm. As a party in terms of a transformation agenda, which I believe the NEC has already engaged in. Remember, I told you there are young people in our NEC. There's women in our NEC. Let's continue in that trajectory and showcase South Africa the talent that ACDP can pull in to support the vision that we have and rally behind our leaders. I don't think now it's time for leadership squabbles and all of this. It's time now to unite behind the vision that our leaders have given us and make sure that we move forward. Yes, do we need to do better in certain areas? Of course, yes. Like any progressive movement, you have to retrospect and do so honestly. And this is what we are going to do.
Because to some extent, we have so many churches in this country, and yet the voters are not necessarily going towards the ACDP.
Yep.
I'm wondering, is it because people not necessarily identify with God in a ballot box, but only in church? Or is it maybe the South African population is not necessarily driven by religious or spiritual values, but rather driven by issues such that are very nearer to their hearts, maybe let's say jobs, employment, all of that? Do you think maybe you're going to be preaching more in this time around, or you're going to be doing more of church in Bezos to awaken the church?
The church is our very important constituency. In fact, on the run-up to the elections, I would like really to send a shout-out to the churches that opened their doors for us. Many churches within Gauteng, across the country, really, where pastors said, come, talk to our people. So they remain, you know, the backbone of what we are doing, including our members, of course. Going into 2026, of course, we have to look at broadening that horizon to look at how do we emphasize more also on social issues and engage people in that regard.
Yeah.
And I think our slogan of SOS is a good place to start, to begin to venture and postulate a position that says all South Africans are welcomed. And I believe our leadership is working very hard on this.
Yes.
One of other things that we also need to do, Bafana, remember, we are not funded by anybody as ACDP. We are self-funded.
Siseko.
We are a self-funded organization.
Okay.
That's one of the areas that we need to work in and make sure that we grow that muscle. I mean, you have seen the younger parties getting 15 million. I'm not going to mention names.
You're telling me, Siseko, that all those billboards of President on the M1 road and the T-shirts and all of that, that was driven by the membership of the party alone?
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, what are you saying? Okay,
what I'm saying is that most of the money that went into our campaign came within the party. Yes, there were donations. Obviously, we had to declare this. We've declared some donations. But majority of the work that we do, for example, when I campaign in my own space, when I get to move around, people to do the party work, you know, all of that, faithful members of the party or across the country sacrificed and made sure that we get to where we're at. All I'm saying is that with more funding, we can do more. I mean, give us 15 million, then you will see. Don't talk about 1 million there, 1 million. Give us 15 million, then you will really see, you know, what we can do. And this is what we need to work on.
I think also
up to 2026.
I think also I thought that more money wins elections. But we saw there's a party that had millions that only went with two seats to parliament, right? Some were given over 20-something million, and they only went there with fewer seats. So I tend to differ that now that I know better, on this election. Maybe I could be wrong. That money actually makes you winning. I think sometimes it's more about the leader and the message of the party. I mean, look at MK Party, 6 months old, is leading everyone out of all those long-standing parties. Do you think the MK was the reason, to some extent, of why maybe ACDP did kind of didn't do well? Do you think maybe some of your votes might be there in Nkandla?
Look, the impact of the Nkandla impact.
Yes.
For now, we call it that.
Yeah, the Nkandla impact.
The Nkandla impact. I think everybody suffered. But I think, look, Juju is crying more than us.
Yeah, he is worse.
He's crying more than us. Has there been any party that has not been affected? Probably your VF Plus, you know, those sort of right, you know, sort of leaning parties might not have lost to MK. But most of your parties, you know, would have lost a certain portion of their vote to MK. Biggest losers, obviously the ruling, the former ruling party. Let me, you know, correction.
No longer ruling.
Yeah, former ruling party.
There was a part where somebody says, you know, the ANC must remember they did not win elections, you know. And I'm coming to this part here where you, when I look at MK Party, I look at all these other, what they call progressive forces. He started as a group of five and he went smaller and smaller. It was a 10 or five, I'm not sure. But I'll check with my producer. But what happened was that Al Jamaa jumped ship, UDM jumped ship. ATM is and EFF are the only ones who are still standing, right?
Rise left.
Rise left as well. So the question is to you, can we anticipate an alliance of some sort between you, MK Party, EFF, as the unofficial opposition in parliament?
Look, I think it's very clear, Bafana, our position currently in the National Assembly, we are an opposition. Can we align with people who are aligned with our thinking? I mean, it's a misnomer. Of course, these are politics. There are no permanent enemies. And we don't have enemies, in fact. And this is what this is the message that comes from our president, that we don't have political enemies. We might disagree with some of the things they are saying. For example, there are some of the leftiest things which are in that progressive movement, things of how you ought to address the issue of land. We believe that there are better ways of dealing with that.
So, how do we address the issue of land?
For us, our policy position on land is that, yes, you expropriate land, but it must be with compensation.
To who?
Compensation to the person who owns the land, who has a title deed to the land.
Sisego, the other leftist side will tell you that Sisego, Hendrik did not buy that land. He removed the king there. And their family, and he took over the whole place and made a farm. So when I want to go and reclaim my land now, after a couple of years, I must pay for it. But he didn't pay for it. So the question is, how do we redistribute the land with compensation to someone who took it by force and through a barrel of a gun, through bloodshed? Why do I have to pay him to give me back my land?
You sound like you are with the red beret, but that's okay.
I'm trying to provide context so that we don't just throw this land question. Usually when it's thrown around, right? It's thrown around in the sense of this land was, if you're going to take it, you know, you got to pay back people. And let's be honest, black people don't want land. All you want is jobs. You know, there are those who try to minimize it. But I think at the crux of it, it is the fact that if people were dispossessed of their lands, and there's got to be some redress taking place. I'm not for a radical takeover of guns and say,
I'm happy to hear
they
that.
Take white people out of the land. No. But there's got to be a historical fact and the truth and justice must follow with it. Yes. To say, okay, Sharp, since well, you've been here for 100 years and you took this land from me 100 years, how do we share this land?
Yeah.
How do we coexist in this land?
Yes.
Or maybe, according to the Red Berets, they want to take it back to the state, which I disagree somehow. I still believe that we should own our should own land at some point. I don't want to be told that I'm on a lease. But my point being that there's got to be a progressive way being honest to the truth of this country to say land was taken from people through bloodshed, a barrel of a gun. So if you want to come and say, pay now to take that, I think it's a bit of gaslighting, for the lack of a better word to say, but you took the land with a barrel of a gun. Mm-hmm. I'm not coming with a gun. Mm-hmm. I'm saying, let's share the land.
Yes.
And you're saying, hell no, pay. Yes. Why should I pay for what you took from me with the, you know? Anyway, moving along.
Yeah, look, most of the land that is available in this country belongs to the state. When we were campaigning, we campaigned on the ticket that says the traditional land.
Mm.
I come from, for example, from Tsomo.
Yes.
We've got a small homestead land there that belongs to the homeland chief.
Mm-hmm.
We start there,
gave
our people title deeds on that land so that people can own a land.
Mm.
SDP is not against people owning land.
Yes.
Let's make it clear. Our land policy is that redistribute land, but do it the right way, because you don't want to solve a problem the wrong way and create another problem. There's always this saying that says you can never solve problems with the same type of thinking that they were created.
Yes, yes, true.
Right. Mm. So we have to think at a higher dimension for us to resolve problems. Otherwise, we'll create another problem unintentionally. Should land be shared in this country? Definitely.
Mm.
Definitely.
Yes.
I also need land myself. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure you need land yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I need a farm.
Of course.
An estate,
You know, so we all need land. So the issue of land has to be approached honestly.
Mm.
And if there's any other means that we can take land from, you know, redistribute land, I think that's the right language, not take land, redistribute land.
Mm-hmm.
We need to do it fairly. And the current government is actually doing it. There's a program on land redistribution, but they're paying.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm saying. I feel, we come and we are Africans. Our history is that our kings were custodians of lands.
Yes.
Right? Just like the Ngonyama Trust in KwaZulu-Natal.
Yes.
And maybe the best way to deal with the land issue is to reinstall kings as custodians of, not owners, custodians of these lands.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever is running farms or whatever on the land must somehow find an MOU, whatever, with the kingdom or whatever, to work together to equally benefit of the land. Because they want to get you out of business. Maybe those farms that are in, or those mines in Rustenburg or anywhere, let's work together to create a prosperous future for everyone. But I think it becomes greedy where you telling me that, yes, you can own land in Mafikeng, but not in Joburg. Or you can own land in somewhere in Buputatswana, right? It's or in the township, or there's a lot of land in this country, okay?
Yeah.
Just go to Northern Cape, you'll find land, you know? I'm like, no, I want land where I'm staying, and I'm in Joburg. Title deeds and all of them. But anyway, this is not a land discussion, though. However, I just thought I should just ring that bell to say, when we are looking at this issue of land, I wish you could be honest and also be realistic. I mean, even with the black progressive parties like your EFF, let's be honest, Afrikaners are not going anywhere. And people who own these lands have made wealth out of it, and they have his family legacies that they will not leave behind. What are we dealing with today? We are dealing with issues of poverty, inequality, and all of these things. How then can we work collectively, sharing this resource to empower everyone equally? And hopefully at the end of the day, we can have some sort of prosperity and living together. But not just a symbolic one, but a literal one.
Yes.
My point exactly. I'm going to go to this part, my brother. You still have those who voted for you in this election.
Yes.
And these ones are the people who would maybe want to see you in action. You mentioned something about the Gauteng government. Would you be willing to consider the DA or ANC of any other party to work with to form government where you are needed?
We are currently in talks, Bafana, as I've said, to form talks of provincial government. And we are open to the idea basically because we understand that South Africa needs us. And as I've said, we want to provide services to South Africans or to Gautengers. And the reason why we are considering this idea is because of a number of things. First of all, the level of contribution that we can make at a provincial level comparative to national. Because you might ask the question, why then a different approach? We believe that we can contribute more in Gauteng. And we already have already started to contribute in many other ways through our MPL, who's currently going back to the to this administration. We are obviously open to the idea, and there are talks.
You said you did mention that you had two MPLs.
Yes, ACDP has two MPLs, and one MPL is in Gauteng, and one is in Western Cape.
In the Western Cape.
Yes.
When you look at the party for the next 5 years, we are going heading soon to local government election. What can we expect as something? What would be what would the party do different this time to reclaim those 6,000 votes?
Well, a couple of issues, Bafana. Remember, first time I mentioned here that we still need to go back and do what I call postmortem, proper analysis of where did we go, you know, where were we supposed to have done better, you know, areas of improvement. Obviously, that still needs to happen. But I mentioned one of the issues which our president speaks about, the issue of funding. Obviously, this is where we need to do better. Also, we need to look at issues like building strongholds, more strongholds. There are areas where we've got strongholds. Obviously, the church is one of those areas that we need to work on. There are also areas within certain communities in Gauteng where we've got strong bases, in Western Cape, you know. So these are the areas that we need to go back, strengthen and grow. More branches. This has to be, you know, part of what we consider. However, having said all of this, remember we have not yet sat down and you know, finalized our 5-year plan. But it's something that will look along those lines.
And because I must say, and I think it's the honest truth, you've been in parliament for the past 30 years. You have survived the test of time. The party has grown, I would say, his own trajectory, going up, going down, going up. And one cannot just, you know, write the ACDP off. It's still a very strong force and still a very strong voice for values in this country. We saw what you are doing with the Bella Bill, and I'm most parents, I'm sure, they are rooting for you, even though they didn't vote in their large numbers, but they are, for the sake of their children, they are relying on the party like yourself to bring that consciousness into parliament to say, hey, as much as you have these liberal ideologies, but there is still certain things that you cannot touch, you know, rather because of God, the creator himself, you know. And for that, we applaud the party. We look at the next 5 years of the party. You have these young people who have voted for you, and I'm going to give you a chance, a message to them, your voters. The camera is right behind me to say, what is your message to your voters, and what can they expect from you, either provincially or nationally, or even to the next? What can the voters who gave you this power or this seat in parliament more from the ACDP?
Thank you, Bafana. To our constituency and South Africans, we just want to say thank you. Thank you, South Africa, for entrusting us as a party that has to go back to parliament. We sincerely thank you for this. And we promise you we will be true to what we had committed to do. The SOS slogan is not going anywhere. Wherever we have an opportunity, as ACDP, we'll make sure that services are brought to you, there's order in our communities, and that your children are safe. We'll continue doing the work that you have mandated us to do. And in the next couple of months leading into 2026, local government elections, we need your support going forward, and we need your prayers. And as our leaders always say, South Africa needs the ACDP, and the ACDP needs South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Siseko, the chairperson of Midrand ACDP. These are his reasons of why the party did not do well. And also, there is some hope there that the party might rebuild their support base and we might see a new, fresher ACDP heading towards the local government election. That's it from me, Beyond the Ballot with Bafana Modise. Share your thoughts on the comments section. This was proudly brought to you by the Podcast Party, where great minds don't think alike. Any other than that, let's meet next time, same place, same time. Ciao, ciao. Bye-bye.